Title: LFO Movement for Tension at 170 BPM Advanced. All right, let's build real drum and bass tension at 170 BPM the way it actually works in clubs, not by piling on giant risers, but by making the sound feel like it's getting more and more alive and slightly more unstable without losing the weight or the groove. This is an advanced Ableton Live lesson, mostly stock devices, and we're going to design a reusable tension movement rack that you can drop on a Reese or mid bass, and then reuse on Atmos and even drum tops. Before we touch devices, set your project tempo to 170. This matters because at this speed, everything you modulate has fast consequences. Tiny timing drifts can go from vibe to sloppy instantly. Now build a basic DNB skeleton so you can hear modulation in context. Drum group: kick, snare, hets, percussion. Bass group: sub plus Reese or mid. Then an Atmos or FX group for pads, noise, jungle textures, whatever you like. Here's the golden rule for tension in DNB. Keep the sub stable. Modulate mids and highs for perceived motion. That's how you get energy without turning the whole track into a wobbly mess. Now let's build the rack. On your Reese or mid bass track, drop an Audito effect rack. We're going to split into bands so we can keep the low end disciplined and let the top breathe. Create three chains and name them sub, mids, and air. On each chain, put an EQ to isolate the range. For the sub chain, low pass around 128C. Use a steep slope, 24 dB per octave minimum, even 48 if you want is really strict. And keep this chain clean. If you add anything later, it's gentle, like a tiny bit of saturation. No wobble, no stereo tricks. For the mids chain, band pass from about 128C up to around 3.5 kHz. For the air chain, high pass around 3.5 to 5 kHz. We're basically creating a playground for controlled chaos up top. Quick teacher note: this is why your tension still hits on big systems. The low end stays consistent, and your movement rides on harmonics and spectral shifts. That's what the ear interprets as something's coming. Now, movement sources. We're going to use two modulation layers. Layer 1 is fast rhythmic LFO. That's your nervous energy. It locks to the grid, makes the bass feel like it's working harder. Layer 2 is slow phrase modulation over 8 to 16 bars. That's your story arc, the thing that ramps you into the drop. If you've got Max for live, we'll use LFO and shaper. If not, you can approximate with auto filters, internal LFO, and clip automation, but Max for live is the cleanest way to get surgical control. Let's start on the mids chain. Insert an auto filter, then saturator, and optionally a frequency shifter. The frequency shifter is one of those sounds wrong until it sounds incredible tools for darker rollers. On auto filter, choose a characterful filter type, like MS2 or PRD. Set the frequency somewhere around 700 Hz to 1.2 kHz as a starting point. Resonance around 0.6 to 0.8. Add a little drive, like 2 to 6 dB, but keep an eye on levels. Turn the filter envelope off because we're modulating externally. Now add an LFO device and map it to the auto filter frequency. Choose a sine wave for smooth movement, or triangle if you want it to feel a bit more urgent and edgy. Set the rate to 1/8. That's a classic rolling pulse at 170, and it tends to sit right in the pocket with most drum patterns. Set the offset so the movement is centered around your sweet spot. Keep depth small for now, because we're going to control it with a macro. And here's a detail that separates advanced movement from random movement. Add just a tiny amount of jitter or random, like 1 to 3%. The grid stays intact, but your ear stops hearing it as a looping automation. It feels alive. Now let's add teeth. Add a second LFO. This one is micro movement. Friction. Map it either to auto filter resonance or saturator drive. Set the waveform to random smooth or sample and hold, depending on how aggressive you want the texture. Set the rate to 1/16 or even 1/32. And keep the depth subtle. If it's resonance, you're thinking tiny moves like plus or minus 0.05 to 0.12. If it's saturator drive, think 1 to 2 dB of variation. This is the grinding instability you hear in darker rollers. It's not a big wobble, it's like the sound is under pressure. Coach note: modulation hierarchy. You want a clear layering system so it doesn't become mush. The 1/8 LFO is the engine. The 1/32 where random's smooth is friction. And the phrase movement is the story. If two layers fight for the same parameter too hard, clarity disappears. Pick a hero target per layer. Now let's build the phrase tension. Add shaper on the mids chain, or after the rack if you prefer global control, but I like it inside so it's part of the instrument. Set shaper to sync at 16 bars. Draw a curve that rises slowly for most of the phrase, like 12 to 14 bars, then spikes in the last bar or two. That last moment is where you sell the pre-drop anxiety. Now map shaper to multiple targets, but again, subtle until the end. Map it to auto filter frequency for slow upward sweep. Then we'll also map it to some air chain parameters, because the top end is where tension can bloom without messing with the core base weight. So jump to the air chain. Insert chorus ensemble. Set it to ensemble mode. Amount around 15 to 35%. Rate somewhere between 0.3 and 1.2 Hz. This isn't a wobble effect. It's a shimmer and spread effect. Then insert grain delay. Set frequency to around 6 to 12 kHz. Time around 8 to 30 milliseconds. Feedback 5 to 20%. And keep dry slash wet low. Like 0 to 15% max. Then put an EQ8 after it and be ready to tame harshness. If the top bites, dip somewhere around 3 to 6 kHz. Now map your shaper to grain delay dry slash wet so it blooms toward the drop. This is one of those you feel it more than you hear attention tools when used right. Also map shaper to chorus amount, and optionally to utility width on the air chain, or to a whitening control on the reese, if you're using one. Now, important discipline moment. Gain staging while modulating. Filter resonance into saturation into chorus can cause perceived level jumps, even if your meters don't look insane. Add a utility at the end of the rack, after the chains recombine, and map a little gain compensation to your main tension macro so as tension increases, the output trims slightly. Often -1 to -4 dB across the full travel is enough to keep your limiter from becoming the narrator of your build. Now we make it playable. Macros. In the audio effect rack, create macro 1 called tension. Map tension to the depth of LFO number 1, the depth of LFO number 2, and the shaper amount or the mapping amounts of your shaper targets. Also map it to chorus amount and grain delay dry slash wet. Set safe ranges. This is key. If 100% macro destroys your mix, your range is too wide. Save starting points. Filter frequency LFO depth, from 0 up to about 20%. Resonance LFO depth, from 0 to about 10%. Chorus amount, 10 to 40%. Grain delay dry slash wet, 0 to 12%. If you're mapping saturator drive, go from about 2 to 7 dB. If you're using frequency shifter, map a macro to fine in a tiny range, like 0 to 15 Hz. That micro shift creates unease without sounding like obvious detune. Now macro 2, brightness. Map this to the auto filter base frequency or an EQ tilt. This lets you push forward without having to change the actual movement depth. Macro 3, edge. Map it to saturator drive and maybe a small frequency shifter movement. Keep this controlled. Edge is where people accidentally make pain. Optional but extremely useful. Add an EQ8 at the end of the rack and map tension to a gentle spectral tilt. High shelf up by 1 to 3 dB, and a gentle low shelf down by maybe half a dB to 2 dB above your sub-split point. It creates that lifting into the drop feeling while the sub stays consistent. Now let's talk phase discipline. At 170 BPM, you should decide what resets each bar. For your main, intentional movement, like the rhythmic filter pulse, keep it synced. If your LFO device supports retriggering, consider retriggering on the downbeat so every bar feels purposeful. Instability belongs in details. Air noise, resonance micro wiggles, subtle random, not on the core tone that has to drive the groove. Now arrangement, because tension only matters if it's telling a story across phrases. Here's a simple 16-bar pre-drop build in rolling style. Bars 1 through 8. Keep your tension macro around 10 to 25%. Enough movement to feel alive, but still locked. Bars 9 through 14. Ramp it to about 40 to 60%. Bars 15 and 16. Push to 70 to 85% and consider subtracting something, like removing the kick, thinning the drums, or pulling low mid slightly. That subtraction creates space and makes the increase feel bigger. Then on the drop, snap the tension macro back down to 15 to 30%. That reset is the impact. The drop should feel certain, like it locks into place. If you want a classic fake drop jungle trick, do this. On bar 15, push the air chain and grain a little harder. On bar 16 beat 3, do a hard low cut on the bass group, like an auto filter high pass up to 200 or 300 Hz just for a moment. Then at the drop, slam the low end back and reduce modulation depth. It's dramatic and very DJ-friendly. Another arrangement move is call and response tension. Every 2 bars, increase LFO depth slightly in the last half bar. That makes the groove keep asking a question. Or alternate where the motion lives, make bass movement strongest in bars 1 and 2, and hat or air movement strongest in bars 3 and 4. The track evolves without everything screaming at once. Now quick bonus. Tension on drum tops without ruining punch. On your drum group, or just the hats boss. Add auto filter, high pass or band pass. Add an LFO map to filter frequency at a synced rate like 1/8 dotted or 1/16. Keep depth small. The goal is nervous energy, not a sweeping DJ filter. For punch control, since there's no stock transient shaper, use drum bus gently. Drive around 2-5, crunch low. Damp adjusted so hats stay smooth, or use glue compressor with light settings, 2-1 ratio slow attack, just kissing it. Now, common mistakes to avoid while you build this. Don't modulate the sub. If you wobble below about 120 Hz, you lose consistency on big systems. The track feels weaker, not more tense. Don't stack too much resonance into saturation. That can explode the 2-6 kHz range. If it starts hurting, it's not aggressive, it's just harsh. EQ after the distortion and keep it under control. Don't let everything be free-running and unsynced. At 170, free modulators can feel sloppy. Sync your main motion. Use random-like seasoning. Don't go 100% wet on grain and chorus. It smears timing. Use short spikes. And don't forget the reset at the drop. If the build and drop are equally modulated, you lose contrast. Now let's finish with a practice exercise you can do in about 15 to 20 minutes. Goal. A 32-bar roller where tension ramps for 16 bars and releases cleanly at the drop, without adding any risers. Load or create a reese or mid-bass loop that's 1-2 bars. Add your tension movement rack. Set LFO 1 to filter frequency at 1/8. Set LFO 2 to resonance at 1/32. Set shaper to a 16-bar ramp. Now automate macro 1. Tension. From bars 1 to 16. Go from about 15% up to 75%. At bar 17. The drop, instantly back to around 20%, then resample or freeze and flatten 16 bars of the build to audio. Listen for the best moments where the modulation hits hardest. Chop 2-4 of those as little fills. One beat, two beats, maybe one bar. Place them before snares or right at phrase boundaries. That's how you get designed chaos that's repeatable and mixable. Final pro reminder before you go. Check mono compatibility early. If your tension only reads because it's wide, it may vanish on club systems or in mono playback. This audio version is shortened for playback.